You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Anthony Kastrovince and Phil Rogers.
This is MLB.com Extras, Pittsburgh Pirates edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovince, joined by Phil Rogers. And this Pirates team, Phil, they get overlooked a little bit, I think, just because you got the Cardinals, who are the defending division champs. The Brewers got off to such a great start in April and, really jumped out to the forefront there in the Central Division. But the Pirates have hung in there, had a slower start to the season than they did last year, but they've hung around. And they called up the top prospect, Gregory Polanco, brought a lot of excitement. He's had his adjustment to the big league level, but they're still in that mix. What do you make of them as we look forward here in the second half?
Yeah, Anthony, I think there's no team that's more fun to see win than the Pirates. Their story last year was terrific. Clint Hurdle, the positive nature he brings to that team, it's a terrific clubhouse. But I think they have some issues that jump out at you when you look at them right now. This isn't the same front of the rotation it was a year ago, with Francisco Liriano's back, but he hasn't been the same guy he was last year. I think A.J. Burnett they've missed, and Gerrit Cole's health has been an issue for them. So I think they won behind a really strong rotation last year, and this year they've just been kind of resting apart. And Polanco, the great hope, not off to a terrific start in the second half. And, you wonder if the expectations were built a little bit high for him. But, I can't wait to see how he finishes up, because he certainly flashed his potential as a, potential five-tool type right fielder, making them the best outfield in baseball. They definitely have an opportunity to get it going. But I look at that rotation and think they've got to improve there.
We're joined now by Tom Singer, Pirates beat reporter for MLB.com. Tom, thanks for joining us. And we're talking about a Pirates team that, in the bullpen especially, you look at that as an area where maybe they need some fortification, although maybe not. What have been your impressions of Ernesto Frieri since he comes over? It seems like Jason Gurley has made a nice transition to Anaheim and benefited from change of scenery. But Frieri, aside from one brutal outing against the Diamondbacks, it seems like he's been a pretty decent find for the Pirates.
Yes, he has. He's really come on well. They're trying to make him over like they have with so many other pitchers. My one big concern with Frieri, he doesn't seem to have any variance in the speed of his pitches. So eventually he gets timed by the opposition. But, when you pitch one inning at a time, you get by with that. I guess that's always been his M.O. He's got to hit his spots, and he's been doing the last two, three times out. He's been a good seventh inning guy. Yes.
What do you, in a perfect scenario, maybe the Pirates would bring in a new closer and have Melanson and Tony Watson in those setup roles. But how realistic is that, or do you think they're best off with what they got and letting those guys. Work in potential closing-type situations? What's your gut tell you as far as that goes going forward?
Well, it's an interesting dynamic, because Melanson has been good in a closing role, but as you alluded to, as an eighth-inning guy, he's just been absolutely marvelous since he's come over. So in the best-case scenario, if they do pick up a closer, it will not be to make up for any weakness, but to make the end of the bullpen even stronger. Tony Watson, seventh inning, Melanson in the eighth, and I'm just throwing this name out as an example, that Jonathan Papelbon maybe to close just makes the whole back end that much stronger. Right now, they've got Watson doing the eighth inning and Melanson doing the ninth, which kind of trickles down and kind of weakens the sixth, seventh inning, just because everybody's moved up. So essentially, they do not have a weakness in the bullpen that they have to take care of, but if they can pick up somebody to perhaps close, it just makes them even stronger. And, you kind of need that the way, Hurdle handles his rotation. He very rarely will send a starter out for the seventh inning, let's say, if there's a chance that he may not go you know, that he might have to be pulled mid-inning. So basically, you've got a six-inning rotation, so you do need three strong guys at the end, and he will not use relievers, let's say, 3 days in a row. So by the third day, you know, you kind of thin ice with the bullpen.
Yeah, he was, Hurdle was really a magician with that bullpen last year. As you mentioned, he was very careful not to overwork guys, and it was one of the best bullpens in baseball. You mentioned Papelbon, and there's another guy over there on the other side of the state with the Phillies who might also have some interest. The Pirates might also have interest in is A.J. Burnett. Obviously, a lot of history there. I don't know how aggressive the Pirates are going to be when it comes to looking for starting help, but do you think they're intrigued by the possibility of Burnett, or is he kind of old news with the Pirates at this point? What do you think?
Well, they are intrigued. It's kind of interesting. You know, as soon as Burnett signed with the Phillies back in February, I raised the point that wouldn't it be great if they brought him back mid-season, and can you imagine the reception he would get because of the history here? So, I mean, 6 months ago, I foresaw the possibility that there might be a reunion. But based on the financial, involvement, the Phillies essentially would have to eat a lot of his contract. And I don't know how much they're willing to eat. Either A.J. Burnett or somebody, some veteran, potential number one, number two, I think is of interest to the Pirates. Just because the rotation is a bit of a clutch. I think a lot of it will depend on what happens in going down to the deadline for the trade deadline. Because you've got two big question marks in a rotation, Liriano, Francisco, whether he can get rid of the erratic way he's been pitching all season, and when Gerrit Cole might come off the DL. If you've got those two X factors look like they're not going to be reliable in a predictable sense, then I do think that we'd be very interested in them picking up a starter.
Yeah, they've been without Cole for the better part of 2 months, basically, and we know those lat injuries can be particularly tricky. They definitely you don't want to come back too quickly from that, but Cole obviously could impact them in a big way. Just a dominant young arm.
In a sense, this might be the proverbial cloud with the silver lining. As a young pitcher, always concerned about the innings that he accumulates. And if the injury turns out to be not to be too tough to come back from, he's basically saved a lot of bullets for August and September, which he otherwise would not have.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, they've definitely hung tough in that division, even without him. So, yeah, he could be a fresh arm for them down the stretch. What's your sense of his timetable at this point, or is it still pretty murky?
It's pretty murky. They haven't publicly admitted it, but I think they realized they made a mistake when they brought him back from the DL too quickly from his, earlier. He had some shoulder fatigue. He came back without any rehab outings. It's totally different from a lat injury, obviously, but essentially they brought him back too quickly from that. They'll definitely take the time with this. He's got at least one, maybe perhaps two sim games to pitch. And then he'll go out on the rehab assignment this time. And I don't think it's unrealistic not to expect to see Gerrit Cole back until perhaps mid-August. So they're just going to take the time with him, making sure that he's healthy, number one, and number two, watching his workload, saving his his innings so he can go down the stretch the last 6 weeks without any complications.
And quickly, Tommy, last year the Pirates, aggressive at the deadline in acquiring Morneau and Marlon Byrd to help the offense. This year it seems like Gregory Polanco could be their big in-season acquisition on that front. I know they faced a string of lefties coming out of the break, and he struggled against lefties to begin with. So, that led to, continuation of his slump there, and got a day off earlier this week. But how do you think he's dealt with that, just mentally? How has he dealt with the adjustment to the big leagues and those struggles?
I think he's dealt with it impressively. One of the more impressive things in a backward sense, his slump is was pretty extensive, but he never seemed to change his approach, never became impatient. He never seemed to have any outward signs of panicking. When you see him in the batter's box, he still showed the discipline to not swing at close pitches, with the exception of left-handed sliders, low and away, which give any left-handed hitter trouble. So I think, one of the things we heard about him is that he's a very solid mentally guy. He has it together. And we did see that as he went through a slump, he still drew his walks and his defense didn't suffer. So in a sense, although the production definitely ebbed following his tremendous getaway, he impressed on the other side of the coin by showing the mental strength to stick to his process. That's a word you hear a lot around the Pirates when things aren't going bad. I mean, when things are going bad, if you stick to your process and the way that you became successful in the first place, things will come around. And, we've seen Polanco demonstrate that. His average, he started off with that 11-game hitting streak, which was a club record for starting a career. And ever since then, he's been hitting like, 180s, which is pretty bad. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that the Pirates, which is the one thing they wanted to avoid, why they not bring him up perhaps as early as some fans wanted, because they don't want to get in a situation where he may have to go back to the AAA or some more work. But I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that they may send him back down to Indianapolis just for 7 days, 7 to 10 days, kind of like what the Mets did with Travis d'Arnaud when he was struggling awfully. He went back to Las Vegas for a couple of weeks, and ever since he came back, he's been raking. So I think the Pirates might concede that they have to do that with Polanco. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, those NL Central rookies are interesting part of that race to begin with. I mean, you think about Polanco and Tavares and St. Louis and obviously Billy Hamilton, the way he's developed in Cincinnati, and even Jimmy Nelson, the starter in Milwaukee. Those guys all could have a big say in how this division turns out. So we'll see how that turns out. I want to thank Tom Singer for joining us. For Phil Rogers, I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, and this has been MLB.com Extras, Pittsburgh Pirates edition.